I left people with this sort of question this morning: who will never be reached if you only do what you do now, about a spiritual responsibility for those with no knowledge of the faith and mixed economy as a way of engaging with that. One of my fellow bishops in England, remembering we have a geographical parish system, and therefore, technically speaking, we've got theoretically, we've got everybody covered. It doesn't work like that. But he said, a church in every community in the land is an empty boast if it boils down to there being a church in a given geographical area without any reference to accessibility or culture. And this term, mixed economy, comes from my former boss, Archbishop Rowan Williams. Actually, when he was Archbishop of Wales, and before he moved across to be Archbishop of Canterbury, he practiced on his own Welsh folk before he came over to do the job properly with us. And he wrote in a report called The Gospel in Wales, we may discern signs of hope, particularly found in the development of a mixed economy of church life. There are ways of being church alongside the inherited parochial pattern. And he did that as a result of having a couple of weeks with two experienced church planting consultants who were to be part of the Fresh Expressions team, who helped him see the significant. He had already identified some quite significant new mission communities, and Bob and Mary helped him to see more, and so there was a sort of pre-Fresh Expressions background to this. Now, partly, obviously, it's an economic metaphor. It's, you know, different ways within the one financial economy. It's also got some biblical roots, because this scripture, Ephesians 2:9, which speaks about God's plan for the fullness of time, the Greek word is oikonomia, from which we get the word economy. So here is the economy of God's great plan, and quite clearly within the economy of God's great plan is a diversity and a richness and different ways, and perhaps illustrated substantially in the New Testament by the difference between entirely Jewish culture churches in certain parts and then the Gentiles. And
can I interrupt you just quickly? This workshop goes to 4:30.
Yep.
10-minute break.
Yep.
And then 5:30 okay. We'll stop.
Thank you. You're on record. But by the time you get to Philippi, there's not enough Jews for a synagogue, certainly not enough men, and the culture of the church will have felt very, very different. So before long, as apostles and others travelled round, there really is a mixed economy within the one place. The intention is that this is a mutuality and interplay, that the traditional is a blessing to the new and the fresh is a blessing and a challenge to the new. Rowan said the constant interplay between the steady, faithful, ongoing apostolic life of the church, and he means inherited church. Rowan had lots and lots of time for inherited church done really well, part of the apostolic calling. And at the same time, the edgy and exploratory new life we see in some Fresh Expressions is a vital part of the health and well-being. He did not see it as a problem. He saw the relationship between the two as an enrichment. And so churches, we think, can do mission in three ways. They can do it with good old-fashioned attractional and come. Attractional isn't a dirty word. Who wants an unattractive church? And if you're not doing stuff that you feel you could invite people to, you're probably not doing the stuff you should be doing. It's just there's a rather limited number who will come. There's what we call engaged, which is you get much, much more involved in your neighborhoods and your communities, and you build many more relationships with integrity, and you do that work because it's kingdom work, not just because you want people to come to church. But the consequence of it is the integrity of the church in the neighborhood, the reputation of the church in the neighborhood, the relationships you have are much more extended. And if you put on appropriate things, people will come, but only after you've gone. Our finding, and we think both of those are really great, and Most churches should have both of those firmly, as it were, in their quiver of missional arrows. Our growing experience is there's a lot of people we won't reach unless we go and stay. And we do church where they are, and that's where the fresh expressions come in. And it's not that one is right, the others are wrong, you know, that they all have their appropriate uses, and fresh expressions is no more the sort of silver bullet. But the idea is that more and more and more churches should be able to function in the two main modes, and that's what we call mixed economy. And there are issues about the role of leadership in getting it started, and then there are issues in the role of leadership in, if you like, holding it together and developing and maturing it. And the most crucial thing in terms of getting it started is discernment. It's an actual belief that amongst that group of people with whom you worship, when a church is beginning to say, what on earth do we do for those who would never come, the Holy Spirit has some missional leaders already among you. They are likely to be missional leaders that the pastors haven't thought of as missional leaders, because they're quite likely people who just come regularly, give faithfully, they're in church, they do things and are not quick to, these are not the usual suspects, are not quick to volunteer for the programs and so on that are on. So Al Rochbrun, a colleague, said, the Spirit is actually at work in ordinary common lives. God's future, put into action God's dream for the whole world, is among God's people. I mean, I'm an Anglican. I preside at a communion service where I say to the people, the Lord is here, and they say to me back, His Spirit is with us. And I reply, you better believe it. And if His Spirit is with us, His Spirit, through whom we experience the first fruits, the foretaste of His coming kingdom, is perfectly capable of raising up people and guiding a church so that they know how to live as the first fruits. And if that first fruits means reaching out to some people who are not going to be touched, Eric's research on our Anglican fresh expressions is that well over half of them are lay-led, and at least 40% of those leaders have never led anything in a church before. 40%. And that's consistent across 20 dioceses studied now. It's very interesting. We are convinced there is a pool of missional leadership that is not the usual suspects. This is not the poor same folk who are going to have to do yet another thing. Therefore, what is needed is discernment that draws them out. And Roxburgh & Co. said, very practically, a missional church is formed by the Spirit at work in the ordinary people of the local context. This changes the focus of leadership. Rather than having plans, programs, strategies, and goals, they ask, how can they call forth what the Spirit is doing amongst the people? He wrote in another book, leadership is about cultivating an environment that innovates and releases the missional imagination present in the community of God's people. Now, I've used this quote in ministers' conferences, and they look at me, and they because I wear the purple shirt, they don't say it to my face, but they basically say, it's all very well for you, Bishop, my people haven't got any missional imagination. So they're good Anglicans. I look at them and say, the Lord is here, and they say, His Spirit is with us. And I say, so? The issue is not, have my people got any missional imagination? The issue is the Holy Spirit here? If the Holy Spirit is here, missional imagination can be surfaced. And that's one of many reasons why we believe that fresh expressions, and therefore mixed economy, is practically possible for any little church. This is not some, there's millions of resources, there's loads of spare people itching for something to do situation. And the quote goes on, an environment in which the Spirit-given presence of God's future may emerge amongst the people of God. And very quickly, because this is a foreshortened title, there was a church in under my oversight when I was the Bishop of Maidstone on a little seaside town in Kent called Deal. They were quite a biggish church, but the principles would apply to any size. That for physical construction reasons, they had to move out of their auditorium for several months. There wasn't actually anywhere where they could all go together. So they had to subdivide. They decided that we might as well do something for mission while we subdivide. And so in the months before they had to be out, they said to the congregation, we'd like you to prayerfully identify and suggest pieces of mission that we might do in sort of mid-sized groups while we have to be out of the building, that maybe we can continue after. There were two rules. Rule one is the clergy may make no suggestions. Okay. Rule two was no one may suggest something for someone else to do. Mm-hmm. So this was maybe God is calling me and perhaps if I had some help. It wasn't what we, meaning they, ought to do, is. Out of that came 12 missional communities, 12 fresh expressions, if you like, ranging as widely as an environmental group, a group caring for the people with serious disabilities inspired by the L'Arche communities, a group work called 8 till late, people who get on the train early in the morning, go the way all into London, get back really tired, saying, how can we win the sort of people who live the sort of commuter lifestyle that we do, and a variety of others. The really significant thing was that not one of those suggestions came from the lay people that the leadership thought would make the suggestion. And at the end of it, the associate minister said, it's a treasure trove. We got 40 missional leaders we didn't know we had. That's a huge turning round point. Now, forget the 40 and it was a big church and stuff like that. Those sorts of things. Give people the opportunity, reflectively over time, prayerfully and in conversation, to put into words the sort of, just maybe if only I... What about my neighbours? What about that school where there seemed to be hardly any Christian students? What about, you know? And let those come out, and you may have the basis not only of the vision for a fresh expression, you may also have the embryo leadership for a fresh expression, and the role of existing leaders will be to mentor and pastor and support, you know, that are sort of things Brian was talking about this afternoon. And you have mixed economy. And if it's happened that way, it's not the normal suspects doing more. It's the release into missional discipleship of people, often whom you will find were simply never excited by keeping the show on the road. Yeah. And that's a deliberate contrast. And I totally agree with the stuff said about leadership in the session we've just had. From the leader goes up the prayer mountain, gets the vision and comes back and tells everybody what it is. And the real danger with that model is if they like you and they trust you. Because if they like you and they trust you, they'll go with it, but they haven't heard God for themselves. So 3 weeks later, you are appealing for more volunteers to man the program you thought they'd all bought into. I've been there. So there is something, if you want mixed economy, get the people of God to listen to the Spirit of God. See who's God's calling. Then come the issues. Okay? The meat of this is simply some headings. Some diplomatic skills are needed. About envisioning, I've made some suggestions about that. About negotiating permission, I did not know that word would have such significance in the last thing. Not permission from the leadership, permission from the congregation that this is something that some people ought to be doing, so they're not going to be met with resistance and grumbling and gossip and all the other stuff that will get in their way. Addressing misunderstandings. Classic misunderstanding in England when a fresh expression that doesn't look like sitting in rows with books of printed words all saying the same thing at the same time on Sunday morning happens is, that's great, but when will they come to church properly? People assume they've given permission for a bridge, not a new expression of church. you know, and they think they're getting on one end of the bridge to sort of do mini church, and then they will come across the bridge and do grown-up church. And my experience of bridges is that people get on one end and don't cross. You know, whether you thought you were setting up an all-age, family-friendly service that would be a feeder into your main service, never happens. Yeah, a few people get to some stages of changes of life and they've not got children of a certain age. They might want something a bit quieter or something like that. But basically, it never happens. So the pioneers, the practitioners, need the ministry of the diplomats. And partly it is an exercise in leadership, and if you are the minister, yes, there is some authority and you can stand by people. And if you really have to do, if you've got trouble with that, you talk to me, not to them. Might be necessary to do that. But mainly it's explanation. Soon after I was made the Bishop of Maidstone, we moved down from the Theological College to the village called Charing, where the bishop lived. And the Women's Institute, the major elderly ladies' institute in the village, asked us to come and introduce ourselves. And it was a British cup of tea nice. It was all very lovely, and we shared our story, and they were very sweet. But there were some very, very thought-through old ladies in that. You know, you were 80 before you were somebody in the Women's Institute in Charing. And all was going well, and this question came from the back. Bishop! I thought, I'm in trouble. Bishop, we worry that none of our grandchildren go to church. Do you think they would go to a church like ours? Now, my wife and I looked at one another, and we knew the answer, but we wanted to make friends, you see. So I gulped and said, I don't really think they would. Long, pregnant silence. Neither do we. What do you think we should do? And we had to change the pastor, but then I was a bishop. But we ended up in that very barn with an all-age cafe-style congregation for young families, which they could invite their grandchildren to. But they weren't going to come to the very traditional service in the building with the wooden pews and things like that. And there the diplomacy was easy because they actually cared about their grandkids more than they cared about maintaining a certain style of church. Sometimes a bit harder, but if this is going to be peaceable and you're in leadership, you are the sort of oil can between the two halves, and that's important. It's vital that they're both seen as missional. This is not trad church doesn't have to do mission because we've got the fresh expression that does it for us. The understanding of mixed economy is that the whole church is missional by nature. Because it's church, it's missional. and therefore, a mixed economy, it is much easier to help traditional churchgoers to be supportive of a fresh expression that's reaching people they can't, if you've got them seriously engaged in reaching people they can. So it's mission to two bits of the mission field, rather than one bit is mission, one bit is not, and that's vital. Yes, because permission for a fresh expression does not require a traditional congregation to automatically give up what it loves, it can initially look as though this lot aren't doing anything, but at least we've released this lot too. But you can't be satisfied with that. If the church is missional, then it's got to be the whole thing. Careful what language you use. We have an expression back home called daughter church. And it normally means a long-standing church has planted one in a bit of the parish where people don't come or where there's a new estate. And we know what we mean, but it basically implies this one will never grow up and this is the grown-up. Parent-child language really does not help. You sow yourself problems. Sister church, brother church, that's better because you can have an older brother or sister. But, you know, I have daughters who are 36 and 32. But they're two grown-ups who relate to one another as grown-ups. Catherine has no chance of pulling seniority on Sarah, but they are sisters. But one was around for a year or two before the other one came. And that's not just a bit of advice about vocabulary, it's about how you view. Because, yes, some fresh expressions of church are seasonal rather than permanent. There is an opportunity for some years to do something, and then the circumstances change and the opportunity disappears. That didn't fail, it did what Jesus wanted it to. But many of them we want to grow into long-term, mature, missional congregations, continuing to follow the Spirit, even if their mission changes. And therefore the intention is, we have another potential grown-up here. What you're longing for long-term is a peer relationship between church in two different expressions, in which there's real maturity of discipleship and so on in both. So the language, please be careful. Obviously, there are issues of accountability. Lots of our fresh expressions are a parish planting, a fresh expression to reach people its existing ministry isn't reaching. And therefore, both expressions of church would be accountable to the same church council and under the overall leadership of the same minister and so on, even if they were not hands-on doing it. If that happens, or whatever your polity is, it's really important to see that the moment the fresh expression begins to have some stability and it's quite clear it's around to stay, it needs representation in that governing body, whatever your polity is. You know, it needs a voice where the decisions are made for the whole thing, because it's one of the sisters. And I can only make that as a general point because there's so many different polities at this conference. In our setup, it means that the annual meeting has to agree that from the following year, a certain proportion of places will be reserved for representatives elected from the fresh expression, and then we guarantee them their space. But whatever it is, because this is real church within one family, and will share its responsibility, and it won't just depend. Otherwise, you get budget issues where the people affected have no say in the decisions about it and all sorts of things like that. Some of ours are church plants that are not plants of existing churches, but we have another sort of unit called a deanery. Methodists would call it a circuit and so on. And the accountability will be to that as the equivalent of a standalone parish. But the job of accountability and oversight is to give this fledgling expression of church every possible possibility of flourishing. It's not to be awkward. It mustn't be heavy and so on. It's for the purposes of growth and for the purposes of transparency. I mean, some very practical things. I suspect here, certainly back home, we have some very straightforward child protection laws. And if you have, you know, very transparent regulations about how money that's collected is dealt with. The existing church can often provide the sort of resources that make that possible. And being accountable protects you. So this is not interference. There are some practical structures like that that have to be worked out, again, depending on your polity. I will zoom through to give you a chance to ask me a couple of questions. Leadership development. If the fresh expression has... Firstly, it is quite likely that the people who birthed the vision are going to be the initial leaders. I've shared that in the Kent story. Leaders need accompanying and developing. They need mentoring. It's very much low control, high accountability. Particularly if you're mentoring someone, if you're the pastor of a traditional form of church, thrilled with fresh expressions but not feeling you're skilled in it, then mentor the character of the leader, because you can't apprentice them. you apprentice people to learn to do what you can do. If it's something you can't do, but God's calling them to do, then it's their character and their accountability that you're investing in, and you trust them that God is teaching them how to use the gifts and callings that he's given them. If it has been cross-cultural, if the team has gone in, as it were, to another world culturally, then the early identification of potential indigenous leaders is really important. So that this starts to be owned and shaped within the culture or subculture or network or whatever it is. And my two daughters are very different from one another. They're different in temperament, they're different in gifting. They used to find that quite hard relating with one another. They're really close friends now, but they are very different. So often the sisters in a mixed economy. And a mixed economy flourishes when the distinctive charism and calling of each is allowed to flourish, but in relationship to the other. Because you're wanting both distinctiveness and mutuality. You're wanting, if you like, unity and diversity in a particular way. The long-established church should not be allowed to think that the evidence of the fresh expression's maturity is when it looks like mother, because you're probably back in in that way of thinking. It's going to be mature when it's a mature body of Christian disciples for its context in obedience to God's call, having developed something that's really contextually appropriate and still being in good relationship between the other two. They ought to pray for one another. They ought to bless one another. Just sometimes they ought to do some stuff together. Please don't do it with a worship service. You know, don't do go home to mother. Don't do go and visit the kids. That's the other version. Do you follow me? perhaps do something totally different from what you would either do and do it together. But there's other ways to maintain relationships. Go out and serve the community. Litter pick. Do old people's gardens. Have the two congregations together serving, and they'll get to know one another as they do it. Be really spiritual. Throw parties. You know, have a church party and have everybody come, and it doesn't matter which expression of church they come from. So find some ways so that there's real relationship, and then you'll get real prayer for one another. Then they know who people are, but you haven't sort of sacrificed their growth to distinctiveness in doing the two. Now, I'm down to about 5 minutes, so I'm going to stop dead there and say, I'm sorry to throw a lot of bullet points at you, but we started late and were told to be short. So would you, please, questions or things you'd hoped I'd raised that I haven't?
We talk about sustainability. Yeah. And the fact that we're going into fresh expressions with this understanding that they won't necessarily help sustain or feed the institutional church.
Yeah.
In England, have you guys kind of wrestled with the death of the institutional church?
There's two or three things. One is it does matter in terms of sustainability. Good Fresh Expressions praxis is more committed to growing communities of disciples than attenders at a new worship event. And if you are addressing service and discipleship from the beginning, finance and stewardship will naturally come to the surface at some point, even though Luther said there's three conversions and the last one is the purse. So there will be a lagging behind, and it may well be that initially traditional church is subsidizing fresh expression. But actually, most fresh expressions are much lighter touch, cost a lot less than traditional church, and quite often it's the people who commit themselves to do it, who really want to give sacrificially to it as well. So it need not, I think, drain resources. Yeah, the reality is the average age of a worshipper in the Church of England is about 20 years older than the average of the population. You know, so I as a bishop know that if I go to visit a parish, I might see a lot of grey heads. You know. And so sometimes the planting of a fresh expression is ensuring that there is a Church of Jesus Christ here in the next generation. But actually sometimes the new thing sparks life into the old. So You know, I keep remembering the scripture, can these bones live? And basically God says, just watch. So I'm not jumping to conclusions about the death. The aim is the two in partnership. If it happens that one reaches the end of its life cycle, either because it was seasonal and the opportunity went, or because it's aging and it's death with dignity, that's okay. But that's not the main thing in our minds. Right. Most of these start at least lay-led within the available time and gifts of the people leading them. Most expressions are very resource-light in starting, as opposed to the sort of church development stuff, which has a building, a stipend, and the whole thing. There's a form of fresh expression called messy church, which has travelled around the world. There's several thousand of them now. And when the first one began, the church council, it was going to happen monthly, and the church council said they could have £25 a month for craft materials. And that was the total investment. And that was the triggering of a movement that's got probably 3,000 fresh expressions of church around the world now. So, but the other thing is... John Wimber used to say that your values are what you put your time, money, and effort into. And so if churches claim to be committed to mission, they ought to have serious budgetary commitment to mission. And if the plan that emerges through discernment in the church is the establishing of a fresh expression, then, you know, the mission budget, you know, ought to be firmly and gladly committed to do that. Now, where money for people sometimes helps is you need your people who are planting it available to engage with the people they're trying to reach at the time when the people they're trying to reach are available. And if that doesn't fit with a 9-to-5 job, you see, you might be finding a way to release someone for a day a week or something like that. But it's all relatively light touch. I would want this to be a church gladly opening up a new front in mission. Knowing it that does not involve it in huge commitments, but not in any way being resentful about doing that.
Are there particular marks of maturity that you look for in fresh expression? I mean, are each one is enculturated in a different way?
Is this beginning to be what Jesus in a human community should look like in this community? Is actually certainly one of them. What should Jesus look like in the community here to be the authentic Jesus? But we do have another thing. We turn the one holy Catholic and apostolic into in, up, of, and out. And we say, is there now a balanced life that has a life of worship and holiness towards God, a life of fellowship, this is real community around Jesus, a continuing mission into its community, and is it of a genuine sense of belonging to the wider church, be that the traditional church in the parish or whatever it may be. So we're sort of looking for the balance of those four dimensions.
How do you in, up, of, and out. Over and out?
Yeah, no, of and out. Of, we belong. Of, we belong to something bigger, bigger than ourselves. Can I quit? I've had the signal to finish, but let's take one more.
I just wonder, Bishop Craig, how you handle the sacraments.
Yeah.
I've got a concern, you know, as a pastor in a local church.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be a mayor and not have to do sacramental duties.
Yeah. Now, I'm from a sacramental church where we have people we authorize to do these things and those who can't. So a number of ways you can do that. Firstly, a fledgling church will enter sacramental life through baptism or the renewal of baptismal vows. It's Christian initiation. If we're leading people to Jesus, it's Christian initiation that will come first. That must always be carried out. It might be by the authorized person, but always in the context of the fresh expression. You do not, if I can keep with my analogy, take them back to mother to get baptized, because you've just said this is real church and this was just the entry point. A community like that will progress to the point where it actually, if you like, understands the need for communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, whatever you call it. We suggest that the ideal is that if the fresh expression is lay-led, the minister of the overall combined thing is there sufficiently often that they know him. You call him chaplain or something like that. You don't land him with all the leadership opportunities. So that when, in a culturally appropriate way, not just bringing the books down from the big church, there is a Eucharist. It is someone they know that's doing it. We think long term, we grow leaders we will ordain through these churches. but there's an interim, if you like. We have a thing called community by extension, whereby you can preside in one place and take it to another. We will do that if necessary. But if you do that, you have the presiding as often in the fresh expression as you do in big church. Or once again, mum is serving from her table up here and coming down down to junior. I probably slightly overemphasize don't use parent-child language, but I hope I've made the point. I've got to stop because I've got to do it again in 10 minutes, but thank you so much. Sorry, that was a bit shorter than the schedule plan. So.